What a great day it's been already. Turn to your Bibles, the book of Proverbs, please. Book of Proverbs, and go to chapter 1 to start with. We're not going to stand this morning. That's very rare for me to say that. We're not going to stand just because of the kind of the direction we're going with the message this morning. And typically I'll ask people to stand in honor of God's word as we read kind of a starting text. But we're going to be in several places in the book of Proverbs this morning. And I just wanted to say a few things by way of introduction that might take a little bit of time as well. And so Proverbs chapter 1, if you'll get there, and we're gonna go to several places in Proverbs here in just a minute. I'm thankful for my mom. And thankful for my wife, who's a mom, but she mothers me too, right? And I'm thankful for that. And men, kids, we like to be pampered, don't we? But they like it too. And so hopefully today we're going to be able to kind of have an appreciation and just praying that the Lord will use this. I've prayed hard about this today, and I'm thankful for Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a beautiful day, but I'll say this, Mother's Day is not a simple day. I usually have my daughters do most of the heavy lifting on Mother's Day, but they're at college right now. And my oldest son is in Indiana. I'm fishing with Mama and Papa. They're in church this morning, no doubt. But and not that he would be a help. Anyways, and then my youngest son, he wanted to get up early this morning and make Sandy breakfast, and he was excited about that. But he had a hard night last night. His belly was hurting a little bit, and just didn't get sleep, really. So I wasn't going to wake him up. Then I also knew what my wife does every Sunday morning. She's here about 7:15, something like that, and just doing some stuff and practicing the piano, doing different things. And then I'm usually here about the same time. And then at some point around 8:15, she goes home. And every single Sunday morning, she'll make me a couple eggs and put it on her homemade bread toast. That it's almost like an egg sandwich, but not a top piece. And it's amazing. It's delicious. And so I woke Joe up about 8. And I went back over there and I said, "Hey, bud, I know, do you feel like making breakfast?" He starts crawling out of bed and starts going real slow. And I said, "Joe, you don't have to make mom breakfast. We're doing lunch for mom and grandma here later. And so you can just help me with that." He just like laid on the floor. He's like, "Yeah, I just think I'll sleep right here." And so he just kind of stayed there for a minute. I'm like, "Well, you got to get back to your bed. All right." So, but then, I mean, lo and behold, I'm here and I just didn't think, I told Sandy, Sandy knew he was going to make breakfast for her. And that didn't work out. So what does Sandy do? She makes me eggs on toast and brings it to me at the exact time. I'm like, "What are you doing? It's Mother's Day." That's how moms are, isn't it? And wives. And we are doing lunch for her. But like I said, it's not easy. And here's why I say it's not easy. I shopped last night at Walmart, which was a big mistake. For a few items, just a few. It took me forever. I can buy all the material I need to build a house at Home Depot faster than I can buy the material needed for a fruit salad at Walmart. We're having fruit salad later, Mom, okay? That's all. That's it. Just fruit salad. That's all you get. When I finally got home, I put the stuff in the downstairs refrigerator because I didn't know if my wife was still up, and she wasn't, but I put it down there just so she wouldn't see it. I got up early this morning to do some prep time ahead of time. We are grilling some chicken and things like that, but to make sure things were prepped, and 2 hours later, I was finally ready for church. But that's why I say Mother's Day is not a simple day, and I'm glad I don't have to do that every single day. Aren't you? Oh, wait, moms do, don't they? Every day. And I know it's not that big of a deal, but I was thinking about that this morning. And last night, I was like, man, this is taken for granted. It takes so much time and effort and energy. And here's the thing. I'm like, this is frustrating. I can't find good prices. Let's just get it, right? But my wife and your wife and your moms, they're like, we're not just going to blow money here. We're going to save money. And we're gonna do the best we can to keep within a budget but still make it good. And so my kid can have a few bucks when they ask for it, when they want to go to the store or whatever the case may be. And I'm just saying it's not easy. But moms do it every day, all week, all year. And so thankful for moms. Amen. And for many, today is full of joy. Because like I said earlier, you get to sit beside the one who raised you or the wife who's raising your kids. And you feel the weight of that gratitude. But for others, today carries a different kind of weight. Some remember a mother or has to remember a mother who is now with the Lord. Some carry the ache of a mom who really was never around to begin with. Some carry the grief of a child. Some moms carry the grief of a child in heaven. And so motherhood, Mother's Day might bring those kind of emotions to it. And some long for motherhood, but haven't received that gift yet. And so before I go any further, I want to say this morning, that God sees every heart and every life in this room this morning. He knows you. He knows your pain and your joy and your sorrow. And His grace is sufficient for every single thing, every single one. But today, as a church family, we also want to do something that God Himself has done from the very beginning. And this is Mother's Day. We do want to honor mothers this morning. We do. And there, a mother or a mother figure raised you or influenced you, if not raised you, had an impact or an influence in some form or fashion. So this morning, I want to look at some passages in Proverbs, and I think each one shows us something about the heart of a mother. And really, I don't, like I said earlier, I don't want to take the attention away from God. That's important in church, right? We don't take the attention away from God, so I want to honor God. And each one gives a word or a needed word to children, to teens, to husbands, and to all of it shaped by a mother's love. So turn to Proverbs chapter 1, and while you're doing that, I'm going to let the kids be dismissed at this time and made it a little awkward for them by not standing, but if there's a class downstairs that you got to get to. So Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Let's read that. Would you read it out loud with me? Ready? Begin. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. So that's what we're going to do with each of these points. We're going to read a verse or two out loud together, totally different than I ever do on a Sunday morning. We're going to look at each one of these different points that talk about a mother and, or what a mother does or teaches or how we can affect a mother and hopefully learn something from it. So here the Bible talks about a mother's teaching is a gift of grace. Solomon says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. That word there, law, you see that word? Doesn't mean rules in the way we think of rules. It means her teaching or her guidance or her wisdom. The things she tried to put into you when you were too young to understand why it mattered. Solomon says that what a mother gives her children is like an ornament of grace. You see that there? It's like an ornament of grace and chains about thy neck. Something beautiful. Think about it. Something valuable. Something that results in good things. Something that rests on you and shapes you even when you don't realize it. And most of us don't appreciate that do we? Most of us didn't appreciate it when we were young, for sure. When you're a child, you don't see it. When you're a teenager, you don't appreciate it. And husbands, let's be honest, we overlook it as well, don't we? When God says a mother's teaching is not something to brush off. It says it's a gift of grace. It's something God Himself places on your life through your mother. Think about the things your mother tried to teach you. Not just with her words, but with her character, with who she is. She taught in who she is. As you needed guidance in your life, her patience. How many of you had realized that your mother was probably a little more patient than you wanted to admit? Well, she had to put up with you. So it excuses her anger with you, but it also recognizes her patience. Her prayers, we'll never forget mom praying. Her consistency, warnings, encouragement. Those aren't just mom things. It's not just that's a mom thing. No. That Bible says that's a grace thing. That's what it says. It's grace. And God was using her to shape you and protect you and to guide you long before you knew you needed guidance. The Psalm says, don't forsake that. Don't walk away from it. He's saying don't treat that lightly. Thank God for it. Because when you ignore the wisdom of a godly mother, you're not just ignoring her. You're ignoring the grace that God put in your life through her. If you have a mom this morning who's trying to teach you, trying to guide you, trying to point you towards what is right, that is God's grace in your life, because you don't deserve that. And I'm guilty as anyone. Don't push that away. Don't roll your eyes at it. Mm-mm. Don't treat it like noise, because one day you'll realize how much she was trying to save you from. And now we as adults in this room, whether you want to admit it or not, you are living, you adults, men and women, you are living today on the wisdom of your mother or mother figure poured into you years ago, right? And you're doing things that you never thought you would copy your mother over. My mom said that. My mom did that. Moms, you may not feel like you're doing much. You might not feel like your teaching is effective. You might feel like your words fall to the ground and you're unheard, you're unseen, unappreciated. But here's what God says about you. God says in this passage, your teaching is an ornament of grace. God said that. It's an ornament of grace. When you pour into your children, God is saying it's beautiful in His sight and valuable. And so I just want to encourage you, moms, keep teaching. Keep it up. Keep guiding. Keep praying. Keep speaking truth into their hearts. Now, moms, when they turn about 45, you don't have to tell them to brush their teeth. All right? But keep teaching truth. Don't stop influencing spiritually. Ever. That was a little jab for my mom over there, by the way. Because I love her. God sees it. God values it. God uses it. And one day, maybe not today, but not this year, but one day your children will look back and realize that what you gave them was grace. Go to Proverbs 6, please. Proverbs 6. We're doing pretty good. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 20. We'll read verse 20 through 22. All right, so read that out loud with me. Ready, begin. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. So, if there is a statement for point one, a mother's teaching is a gift of grace out of Proverbs 1. Point two, a mother's presence is a lifelong protection. A mother's presence is a lifelong protection. Solomon here is describing something every mother in this room can understand, is that you never really leave your children. A mother's presence never really does that. Look, you see what it said there? When they go, she's thinking about them. When they sleep, she's checking on them. Right, moms? When they awake, she's already ahead of the day with them. She's already ahead of them. Solomon says that a mom's influence, her teaching here, and her warnings and her prayers, they follow her children through every part of life. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. See that? How many of us have been kept from something foolish because we heard our mother's, you might call it, nagging voice in the back of your mind? When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. How many nights were you protected just because of your mother's prayers? We don't know the answer to that. Praying over us while we sleep. I know as a father, I've walked in my kids' rooms and tucked them in, or I came in late and gave them a kiss on the forehead while they're asleep or something like that. And I stopped right there, thanked God for my kids and prayed for them. Prayed for their life. Had a revival in my kids' room sometimes, right there next to their bed. If I did that, no doubt moms have. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. You woke up to a mother who was already thinking about your day, your needs, your struggles, your hearts, and you went throughout your day. Mom's presence is one of God's ways of protecting a child, even when the child doesn't see it. And listen, just for a moment, teenagers and kids, you may not always like your mom's presence. Sometimes you just think it might be a little overbearing. You might think maybe mom's too involved, or grandma's too involved, or your motherly influence is too involved, too protective, too watchful, too much. But God says, here's what God says. Listen, because God's never wrong. God says her presence is meant to lead you, to keep you, and to talk to you. So sometimes it might feel like nagging or control, but please understand, the heart behind it is love and protection. I'm urging the moms this morning, don't stop. Don't listen to your kids. Listen to God. And as adults, we can look back, can't we, and see moments where mom's presence saved you from something you didn't even know was coming. You didn't see it then, but God's mercy was there. Our oven has a delay start. How many of your oven has a delay start? How many of you can do that? That's kind of neat, isn't it? The more bells and whistles on an item, the more failure points there are, by the way. And so, don't expect it to last forever. But we had to get a new oven. The oven we had over there was, the bake element kept breaking. We even had the control board worked on. And it was just time for a new oven, so we got one. And I didn't go high bells and whistles. We actually tried to avoid that. My wife didn't want all the bells and whistles. The only thing she wanted was a delay start. And we got maybe a little more middle-of-the-road type one. And it doesn't have a delay start button on it, but you can use your phone and do that. What in the world? Wi-Fi on an oven? It's crazy. I tried to avoid that. I'm like, this, I don't want this. But So I used it this morning for the food that we have for Mother's Day today. I'm proud of myself for that one. It's kind of cool. It's just turned on 9 minutes ago. I hope. She confirmed. She's got her phone back there. It's Mother's Day. You're not supposed to be checking that. Moms, you may feel like you're always on. Like always on duty. Constantly on duty. Watching, thinking, praying, caring the way your children's needs. And I learning that as I'm an adult and I'm watching my mom take care of us, and we have one that's graduating from college soon and going to get married in just a few weeks, and this woman is going to always be on, like always caring, always praying, always wanting to protect, and you may feel like that's always the case, and sometimes you wonder if it matters, but God says your presence is one of His tools to protect your children. Your watchfulness and awareness and concerns, your prayers matter. And when you check on them at night, God sees that. And when you think about them during the day, and when you carry the burdens in your heart, God sees that and God uses that. And you might not see the results now. You might not see them this year. You might not see them in 5 years. But one day your children are going to realize that your presence was one of the most greatest protections God ever gave them. I'm just saying, don't stop. Don't quit. Don't think it's wasted. God says it leads them. Says it. It leads them and it keeps them and it talks with them long after they leave your home. So don't stop, moms. Go to Proverbs 14 if you would. We're just going to read one verse here. Verse 1, ready, begin. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So I guess a statement for this would be, a mother quietly builds what others take for granted. And the Bible says a wise woman builds her house. It's not talking about lumber and material and nails. It's talking about the atmosphere of the home. It's talking about the spirit of the home, the stability of the home. A wise woman builds, not loudly, not dramatically. A wise woman. Now, some women try to build loudly. Some women try to build dramatically. It doesn't really help. But this woman builds quietly and faithfully and consistently. She builds with her words. She builds, a wise woman builds with her patience. A wise woman builds with her prayers. A wise woman builds with her example. And most of the time, that's not noticed. What is noticed is the loud. What is noticed is the impatience. What is noticed is the harsh words. That's noticed, but that doesn't build. I don't drive by a house that is built, unless it's like super nice, and go and just like, oh, there's a house that's built there. I don't think about it, but I notice a house that is being torn apart. I do notice a house that is crumbling. I do notice a house that is kind of like partly bulldozed. I notice those. But I don't notice the ones that are just like, you know, the house like the one next to it, like the one next to it, like the one next to it. It's not as noticed. It's appreciated, not like it should be for those living in it, but they like a dry house, a roof, and a building that is warm and all of those things. But in your life, moms, most of the time, nobody notices your patience and your kind words and your prayers and your example. The meals appear, the clothes get washed, the schedules stay together, the lives, the families tended to, and the home stands because you're building it. And the rest of us, we don't see the building like we should. You see the results, we don't see the work. You don't see the late nights and the emotional load and the prayers. She prays when you're sleeping, but God sees it. And now as adults, we begin to realize that the stability we grew up with didn't just happen, did it? I don't really have a magic home that my clothes are taken care of and washed and folded like I used to think I did. Wow, I just threw that in the basket the other day and now it's washed and folded on my bed for me to put away. No, it doesn't just happen. Somebody did it. Held things together, carried burdens. And God says, moms, that while you may not feel like, I love how this verse can be an encouragement to a mom. This is for you. You may not feel like a builder, and you might feel like you're just trying to get through another day. You're just trying to survive another day. But God says, you're building something sacred. You're building a home where hearts can grow and where your children learn what love looks like. Where you're building stability that they're going to learn for the rest of their lives. And you build it in ways that go unnoticed, but God notices. He sees every quiet act of faithfulness, every sacrifice, every single moment you chose patience over frustration. I know you're not perfect. There's been times where you chose frustration over patience. I don't blame you. But he sees when you've chosen patience over frustration. And the times where you didn't panic, but you put your arm around your little ones and you prayed. You didn't give up on your husband. You caved to your husband. You showed grace. Your husband didn't deserve it. He's a rotten apple like me. My wife still loves me. My mom didn't kill me. God says, moms, that's wisdom. That's building. God says, this is my work in you. I'm building through you. So keep building. Even when it feels small or repetitive or like no one sees it, God sees it. And one day your children will see the home they grew up in didn't stand by accident. Didn't just stay that way on its own, but it took somebody to build. Proverbs 23, last place. No, we didn't go to Proverbs 31 today. We read it earlier. Proverbs 23, verse 22. This one's three verses, so 22, actually it's four verses, 22 through 25. I'm going to have you read the verse 22 and 24 out loud with me, all right? I'll do 23 and 25 by myself. So you start with verse 22, we'll alternate, okay? So verse 22, ready, begin. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. So a statement for this one would be, a mother's joy is found. Listen, you've heard the statement, a happy wife is a happy life, right? Well, so was a happy mom. Couldn't think of a word that rhymes with that, so somebody will tell me later. A mother's joy is found in her children's walk with God. Amen, Mom? A mother's joy is found in her children's walk with God. Something every mother in this room wants. Every mother in this room knows deep in her heart. Listen, your moms enjoy watching you shoot that shot again the 15th time. Mom, watch this. Mom, watch this. Right, Mom? Moms? Mom, check this out. Oh, Mom, you got to see this. Let me try again. Or listen to this. Or look at this. Or whatever the case may be. They find delight and stuff like that for the first two or three times, if it goes that long. When they see you miss the first five times, they're done. I'm sorry. They are finished. They don't want to see it again. And then when you finally make it, they're not looking. No, a mother's greatest joy is not in what her children achieve, but in who her children become. Not in their grades, not that they don't find joy in these things, but their greatest, I said the greatest joy, right? Not in their grades, not in their careers, not in their accomplishments, not in their sports accomplishments, not even in their scholastic accomplishments. Say they don't find joy in those things. That's not their greatest joy. Their greatest joy is in your walk with God. I'm not talking to just teenagers tonight. Some of you have moms that you don't live with. You're an adult. You've grown up. You're a mom. You're a dad. You're in your 40s. Your mom still cares about your walk with God. She still prays for it. Solomon says that when a child chooses wisdom, when a child chooses righteousness and chooses to follow the Lord, it says right there, she that bare thee shall rejoice. That means a mother's heart is tied to her child's spiritual direction. It's tied to it. It's inseparable. And when you walk with God, her heart rejoices. And when you wander from God, her heart aches. Because her joy is connected to your soul. If you want to give joy to your mom, if you want to give your mother joy, walk with God. You can buy her flowers today. You can write her a card. You can make lunch. You can attempt to wash the dishes. She's sitting there trying to relax, but you're doing it all wrong. Knowing she's got to clean up after you clean up. You can hug her neck, but nothing, and I mean nothing, brings more joy to a mother's heart than seeing her child choose Jesus and choosing wisdom, righteousness. Your mother prayed for you. Did you notice it says when she is old? It's not a joke about age. You're out of the house. But we have countless adults in this world, Christians even, that need to walk with God, and they're breaking their mother's heart. So the other day, Joe said, was it yesterday? Joe said, step on a crack, break your mother's back. Was that yesterday? How many of you used to grow up saying that? Yeah. Step on a crack, break your mother's back. Step on a line, break your mother's spine. Step in a hole, break your mother's skull. I don't know how that one works, but... But I was like, what? Get out of line. Break your mother's heart. And your mom prayed for you. Your mom's waited for you. Your mom's wept for you. Your mom stayed up late for you. You came to Christ when you got saved. Or when you came back to Christ. She rejoiced in a way that nothing else could make her rejoice. So her heart, listen, if you're not living for the Lord, her heart would rejoice in her old age to see her child, who is an adult, walk with God. It would heal her heart, actually. And if you're not saved, there's moms here praying for their unsaved children. Moms, listen, you carry the spiritual weight of your children in your heart, and you pray for them, and you worry for them, and you long for them to walk with God. Sometimes you wonder if your prayers matter. Sometimes you wonder if it's worth it, because maybe your husband's not doing that. Husbands, I hope you heard that. But God says that all of that's not misplaced, because he sees your longing and your prayers, and he knows the burden you carry, and he promises that righteousness brings rejoicing, not just to him, but it will bring rejoicing to you. So I just want to say, keep praying, keep hoping, keep pointing them to Jesus. Because one day, listen to this, I want to say this right, one day, whether in this life, because some of you might say, well, it's too late, or I don't know if I'll ever see the fruit of my prayers and my patience and my long suffering, and I don't know if this will ever happen. in this life or the next, I believe God will honor the prayers of a faithful mother. I believe that. You might not see it, and it might not be exactly the way that you want, but that honor will come. It may come after you're passed on into glory. It's amazing how God uses someone's life to convict the life of the one you are praying for. And the fruit may not be seen in your lifetime, but when there is fruit after you are in heaven, there is fruit. I want you to not forget that, because you will be in that great cloud of witnesses. And if that fruit comes, you might have gone on, but you'll be in the great cloud of witnesses and you'll see the result when there is fruit after your passing. You'll see, I have to believe that there's going to be rejoicing in heaven over one soul that repenteth. Amen? That's converted. I don't think it's just going to be the angels rejoicing. From the heavenly grandstands. And it might not be in the way that you hope, but I can't help but believe that there are parents even now aware of somehow you serving God. And I don't want to get theologically off there by any means. We don't pray to our loved ones that have gone on before us. We don't communicate with them. We communicate with God. But I don't think that they're ignorant of what's going on. Take some time to thank God for the heart of a mother. So what are you talking about? Her teaching, her grace, her presence, her protection, her building and wisdom in your life, and her joy and righteousness. Every one of those qualities might be in, or one of those qualities, or all of those qualities might be in the heart of your mother or your motherly influence, but all of those qualities reflect the heart of Jesus himself. And he teaches us and protects us and builds us, and he rejoices over us. So today, as you honor mom, you're really honoring the God who gave you mom. And so you might say, well, how do I respond to this? Kids, listen to your mom. Teens, appreciate your mom. Husbands, appreciate your wife. Support her with her work at home with the kids. All of us need to thank God for the mom or motherly figure who shaped us. And moms, keep going, because what you're doing matters to God. Maybe somebody is here this morning and doesn't know Christ. The greatest gift you could give your mom is to receive Jesus. The greatest gift you could receive yourself is to come to him. You know, the love that you see in your mom, man, listen, that's a lot of love. Listen, think about it. Can you measure that? Can you put a measurement to that? That's a lot of love, isn't it? That a mom shows. That's just a small reflection of the love that God has for you. Just a glimpse of it.